Welcome to another episode of The Gym Closet. We are actually out of the gym closet this week. We are joining some of our friends in their dorm room at Grandview. So we're going to talk to some of these college athletes that have gone through some injuries, and we are going to dig into some of the psychological aspects of getting injured. And hopefully this can help not only athletes out there that may be going through an injury, but anybody in the fitness world that may be going through an injury and basically not able to do what they love to do or what they're used to do, and talking to the same, you know, people that you meet at the gym or your teammates. That's all something that we want to discuss today. I think you guys are really going to like this episode, so let's get this thing started. Go. Welcome to another episode of The Gym Closet. Today we are on location. We came out of the closet to to come to an apartment dorm and talk injury with a bunch of guys that have gone through injuries in their athletics and some of that, but we'll get to that a little later. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. Feel free, review, subscribe, like all of our stuff. There's three things to do. Go over it every single time. If you're back for another episode, thank you. I apologize for the audio. Hopefully we get this entire thing ran through and there's no crazy audio problems. My mind is completely blown right now. We're watching, what is this again?
Rocket League.
Rocket League. God, and this is a competition that is nationwide, I guess, for $50,000.
Get in there.
And it's a video game that with live commentators, and oh my, I'm completely flabbergasted right now. But yeah, so today we're talking about, commentator's a word, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I thought I was getting made fun of, but that's actually a word. Today, as usual, we're here with Shane, at Shane Sagabarth. We're here with at Jordan.Hildreth. What's up, guys?
I just got back from Phoenix 4 hours ago, and it's fucking cold. And it sucked. I was swimming 2 days ago, and today I was freezing my balls off. That's it.
It's cold. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Here, you can have your man card back for ditching us for the weather. Yeah, we're also here with a gang of college students and high school students that have all experienced some sort of injury in their career. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'll kind of go around the horn and everybody can introduce themselves real quick, and then we'll dive into some content. So starting on my right is Dan. Go ahead and start it off.
Alrighty, at Daniel Hupke, I suppose, giving my social media out.
Nice, I like it.
That's my Instagram. I've had several injuries, I suppose, but I'm currently attending Grandview, kinesiology major. I'll graduate in the spring, actually, a little bit earlier than some of these other guys. But
and actually, not to interrupt, he was actually our intern here this last, over the summer. So yeah. He was coaching at Crave Gym as well.
Notorious for not showing up to a 5 a.m. class and making Tyler wake up and come in.
One time.
Notorious.
One time.
Notorious.
I don't
one
even
time.
I don't
know.
I
was there.
That actually happened.
One time. Yeah, you came in. Yeah, one time.
Was I heated?
Yes.
No, you were pretty chill about it, honestly. I just came
no,
in.
No, you were not.
I started, and then
you
I started
were furious.
Getting the flow and started
I was
coaching.
Heated?
But
okay.
You've never seen him heated.
Yeah.
No, no, yeah.
Zach's been heated.
No, yeah. you weren't that mad, honestly. No.
We're also here with Zach. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Zach.
My name's Zach Downs. I'm a kinesiology major. Zach Downs, sorry. Kinesiology major at Grandview. I'm a junior this year. I do not currently play football anymore, but did due to current injuries. And also coach and train at Crave Gym. And, yeah.
Awesome. And then introduce yourself as well.
Yeah, I'm Jake Quirk. I'm a junior here at Grandview. Currently playing football still, but currently sidelined with a concussion. This is my fourth concussion. So
ooh.
Those are pretty much the injuries that have been holding me down for most of my football career. And somewhat of knee injuries in the past, but really it's the concussions that bother me, that concern me the most.
God, I should be playing the I Get Knocked Down. I had that tub thumper. That was up last podcast that we had it rolling. But we'll continue around the horn here.
So I'm Mason Bowman. I'm also a junior at Grandview University. I'm a business management major, and I was also on the football team. And then about a month ago, this football season, actually, my Boulder 2 disc in my neck, which ended my career. That's just the start of some of my injuries. I've kind of got a long history with those, some back problems, shoulders, stuff like that. So
plenty of injury experience here at Jordan.Hildreth. Any injuries to speak of for you?
Not a lot, honestly. I partially tore my meniscus once when I was a senior in college, but other than that, pretty injury-free.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Dick?
Lucky. Were we supposed to say all our injuries?
What's that? I don't want to hear about all your injuries. We'll talk about your story a little bit later. Also joining us, Grant, congratulations. Just accepted an offer to Iowa State to wrestle. So a little round of applause here. Congratulations, buddy. Yeah, so introduce yourself and kind of what you've been going through the last couple months.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Grant. I'm a senior at Valley. Just committed to Iowa State to wrestle. Just coming off a torn meniscus recovery, so out for football this year. Really just doing a lot of physical therapy, stuff like that. Getting back in the weight room. Get back on the mat for wrestling season. But, yeah.
Make sure to hold that mic up nice and close. Talk.
Oh, you want me to go again?
Yeah, say again.
All right.
nice and close up here. There we go.
Thanks. I'm Grant. I'm a senior.
There it is. Nice.
Senior at Valley High School. Just committed to Iowa State to wrestle. Just coming off a torn meniscus recovery. So missed football and then getting back in the wrestling room for wrestling season.
Awesome. So that's, wrestling's the sport that he is going to play in college. So, or you don't play wrestling. Yeah, you wrestle. But the sport that you're going to participate in. Okay. My English isn't great, so I'm getting corrected here.
You did send me a text earlier today that said there.
And you... I know. I saw that as it sent out, and I knew that it was wrong, but I wasn't driving. I had to say fuck.
Do you have a Siri type thing on that phone?
Yeah, and I did. And Bigsby is her name, or his name. And Bigsby fucked me. Completely.
Bent
me over. Yeah, so I'll kind of start with my injury story. I played a bunch of sports in high school, played football at University of South Dakota, and had several injuries once I got to college. I was injury-free in high school, and, once I got to college, I had surgery after my freshman year. I was injury-free, which was a great year. Then I was injury after injury after injury after that. So 3 years of injury, 1 year of playing, and ended up, ending my career and had an awful experience. I don't remember a month of my life being that my roommate that we actually talked about, Scott Slotin, the guy that could chug against Pat McAfee, he conveniently got injured at the same time I did. And so I get out of surgery and he was out of surgery the day before. And so I'm still on, anesthesia, and we're heading to party. So, from that day, I missed a month of my life. So I have kind of a place as far as passion goes for some of these athletes that go through some of these injuries. And I handled it really, really poorly, ending my college football career and on all sorts of painkillers and drinking nonstop. And the memory, is gone from a month of my life. So, since then, I've worked with a ton of different athletes, and a lot of the kids that get injured seem to kind of go to the wayside with some of their teams and, don't get the attention or whatever they need. And so I have a passion for being there for those athletes and trying to help them through that process that I went through myself. So everybody here has kind of their unique story, and we'll kind of go through some of those and how to handle them and how they felt mentally. And I'm sure, you know, if you're listening to this and this can help you get through an injury and kind of see the upside, because we're all still sitting here having a good time and we've all been injured. So it definitely doesn't, you know, it doesn't end everything there. So there's a tough period, and I think everybody has gone through that, but then we'll kind of talk about what to expect coming out of injury, what physically we all did to rehab and kind of go through some different things, and then what mentally we went through. So starting off, Dan, we'll pass the mic over there. We only have 4 mics for like 17 people in this apartment right now, and 17 of them live here too. I mean, it's insane how many people live in this apartment. It's awesome, but that's college for you. I miss it. But Dan, go ahead and tell your story a little bit, and we'll kind of open the forum up after you tell your story. We'll kind of talk about everything and kind of go from there.
Well, I mean, I've got several stories, though. I mean, most significant one, like most impactful, the most injury that had the biggest, you know, effect on me. Or I've got, like, I've got a separated shoulder that I've dealt with. I have concussion, multiple, basically pretty much changed my life. Yeah. Or I was talking to you, bro. Yeah.
Oh,
I was looking at you.
No, what, sorry. Yeah. What? I'm adjusting some windows. I'm on the ones and twos and trying to.
Gotcha.
Trying to moderate here, but yeah, so you know, tell us a little bit about the difference in each of those injuries and obviously the worst one and how you kind of got over that and kind of go from there as far as your story.
So I guess one of the first injuries that like really had an impact on me, I suppose, and was detrimental, definitely. I came to Grandview, started playing running back. I had played running back in high school. I was actually first team All-State at Carlisle. Had a hell of
humble
a
brag.
No,
love
no.
it.
No,
I love the humble brag. Man. Shout out,
no,
Kyle.
I worked for it, though, man. I used to be a fat kid, and I worked really hard and was able to run the ball after putting a couple
oh, no,
years of work
total
in,
respect.
So, yeah.
Humble brag all day. You got a story to put out there.
But anyway, so as a freshman, literally was getting reps, coming in as a true freshman, was getting reps on varsity at Grandview with just like goal line work, and that was it. Because obviously I was a heavier running back and one of the bigger ones, and then literally went to go block a tight end and turned too much and popped my right collarbone literally right out of there, and that put me completely out. And I actually, like, when that happened, I like totally stopped taking all my supplements, like stopped working out, started eating like crap, started eating McDonald's every day, started like smoking cigarettes, like literally like totally went off the deep end pretty much health wise, and then like put on quite a bit of weight. Then I ended up seeing a buddy that competed, and he got me kind of back into it, you know, taking care of myself and stuff. And then the concussion stuff really started to catch up with me, and that's when I had started suffering the concussions. And literally, I would, you know, hit my head against somebody and when I was running, and literally would straight go black, find myself in places, not know where I'm at, stuff like that. But basically, in recovering from that, I was able to really get into fitness and making a difference in people's lives, you know, like taking the internship at Crave and coaching there. That made was a, you know, big positive coming out of that and recovering from it. But yeah, I was in a dark place for a while because of the result of my concussions and how they had an effect on me. So that's kind of where I'm at now, and obviously working with you nutrition wise and going to compete and in the spring, hopefully see what happens. And
you also had a setback, you know, not only related to football, but outside of football. Started training, you know, found out that there was a deal with your ankle.
Yep.
Tell me.
Yeah, I had an OCD lesion on my left talus bone, and it actually happened when I, it's funny, you actually spotted me for this squat. I don't know if you remember, but I did, what I have on the bar, I think I had 5 plates and 2.5 to make it 500 even, I think, or something close to that. And I hit that for 4 reps, Hit that for four reps.
Humble brag.
Gotta love it. I absolutely love them. You keep
I'm setting the. You got to create a setting. That's good. Set a stage. Yeah. Exactly. You got to put the viewer.
I can visualize that weight on the bar. Yeah. That's exactly what we're
doing. So watching. I hit that for like three reps and felt fine.
Hit that for
day.
Like 17 and a half reps. And on that 18th rep, you know, that's where
felt
it was.
Fine that day. Woke up the next morning, like literally could not put any weight on my left foot at all. And like was able to move it around and get a little blood flowing to it, feel better. Go to the doctor, find out there's a an OCD lesion apparently after I, you know, go and get MRI, whatever. And then I end up having surgery and I was straight a whole entire month, no weight bearing at all on my left foot. And obviously, you know, 24 hours after surgery, I was in the gym hitting chest, but like it was an entire month literally where I straight was no weight bearing whatsoever on a scooter. You remember that shit, got me coming in the gym. It was
that was the best scooter ever.
Yeah,
I went
you took
down
it for a few spins
though.
Yeah,
yeah,
you took it
down
for a few
hard
spins
almost.
Yeah,
did you you wiped out on that scooter, didn't you?
Yeah, several times actually. One time I was now ex-girlfriend, we were taking the dogs to the dog park and straight hit like a
scooter
like a wood chip. Like a wood chip. One wood chip, bro. Hit my wheel just right. I straight turned, like, it jacked, and I just flipped over. And I barely got my hands out the catch before I landed on my face. It was a mess.
That is awesome.
But, yeah, so pretty much been dealing with plenty of injuries and recovering. But
so when you came back from that injury, what was the main difference mentally from that injury to the football injuries? You know, you knew it wasn't going to end a career of sorts, but what was your mind frame difference, you know, your mindset going into recovery from the ankle versus then the recovery from some of the football stuff?
I'd say the starkest difference between the two would be when in recovering from my concussion, that was like almost like a fight for my life sort of thing, because some of the thoughts that I was having, like some of the emotions that I was experiencing, that was more like literally like a fight for my life, trying to like get my mind back on track, essentially, from that dark place I was in because of my concussions. But recovering from my ankle, like, that was a totally different story. You know, I was pretty much the same happy-go-lucky guy the whole time. You know, I knew
with the scooter.
Yeah, exactly.
With the scooter.
You know, I was still
more happy-go-lucky. Yeah.
Exactly.
You cannot be pissed off when you're on a scooter.
Exactly. Yeah, I tucked that other leg up just straight. I'd probably get up over 10 miles an hour.
Nice. You rode that damn thing down a hill.
Yeah, exactly. He was exactly.
Rolling. Watch out for wood chips, though.
Gravel.
The brakes were shit, though.
Yeah, you should have gotten a better scooter. We're gonna pass on to. Remind me your name again. We just met.
Jake.
Yep. All right. So Jake's story dealing with a concussion currently. So it's an issue that he's literally going through right now. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what happened, and then also how you're handling it right now and what your plans are for the future here.
Yeah, this current concussion, it's been about a month now that I've been rolling with this one. If I could just rewind it, the freshman year of high school is where I got my first one. Got it in PE, playing California football or something. Literally smacked heads with someone else, knocked myself out, and that was kind of the beginning of this little concussion roller coaster that I got on. My junior year of high school, I got another one, football related. It wasn't too bad. Freshman year of college, I had one where I pretty much blacked out and I don't really remember the rest of the game. Don't really remember getting home from the game at all. And I was sidelined for about 3 weeks with that one, made a return, and played my whole sophomore season without any injuries, completely healthy. And this year, played healthy up until about the seventh week of the season and played an entire football game. And about 24 hours after that game, I started feeling concussion symptoms again. And I know what it's like to be sick, and I know what a concussion is. I mean, it would have been my fourth concussion, and I was pretty damn sure it was another concussion. So I told Dan, actually. He was the first one I told. I came out of my bedroom, and I said, I think I have a concussion, dude. Like, I was lost in this room last night trying to go to the bathroom. I found myself at 3 in the morning walking around the room. And
Not even drunk.
Literally feel like I'm in a war zone. My ears are ringing, and it's foggy. I don't know why I'm standing where I'm standing. And that's kind of when I realized, okay, something is seriously fucked up right now. And so that's when I talked to the trainers, like, took some of the baseline tests again, and had to see a doctor, and it was pretty clear that I had my fourth concussion. So that doctor told me that the best thing to do right now is just sit out the rest of the season and see how this recovery goes. So in about a month, and I'd say I'm pretty much symptom free. The only time I ever have symptoms is when I'm still waking up in the middle of the night or trying to go to sleep. But for the most part, I'd say I'm fully recovered, and now it's just about staying healthy long term.
So what's the protocol? Do they have like concussion 1 protocol, 2, 3, 4, etc.? Like, is it DUI style, or is it like is it the same protocol for every single one? Because your health, obviously it's easier to get a concussion after getting your first concussion. You may be injured even more, and you know, what precautions do they take then after a concussion to obviously try to avoid it again? Because you know, that's the number one thing you hear in football today, that there is, you know, this epidemic of concussions, and that's a lot of what they talk about with the protocol that they have, you know, in the NFL. And what does the protocol look like, what you experienced as far as, you know, now it's your fourth one?
Yeah, I mean, in high school it was pretty similar protocol to it is here. We have the impact test that I think everyone is taking nowadays, and it's basically just a computer test with numbers and shapes, and it's memory, kind of little online games, kind of like Lumosity.com. Yeah. You know, they're like brain games. It's pretty much like that, and like memory, stuff like that. And you take that at the beginning of the season when you're supposed to be not concussed, and then you take it.
Supposedly not concussed.
And there's some balance tests you do, and they kind of record all your baseline data. And so once you are suspected of having concussion again, you go back through that stuff and they compare your scores, and they've been pretty accurate with my concussion so far. Like freshman year, when I retook the computer test, I was about 35% below my baseline scores, and the way the doctor explained it to me is that 30 to 50% below your baseline scores is like a grade 2 concussion. So not the worst, but it's not
still
great.
Bad, right?
Yeah, it's not great. And as far as precautions, what happened here was much more than I've ever thought it would be. I was actually given a brand new helmet that's supposed to be effective in preventing concussions, and I was also given what's called a guardian. It's like a foam pad that goes on the outside of your helmet for practices, so it definitely reduces the shock and it definitely reduces the brain impact. But what it comes down to is I had 3 concussions. I was still playing a really violent sport and taking little hits, big hits regardless. And
you're a big dude, so I mean that's weight coming, that's impact, no yeah. matter what.
So there's no helmet that can stop a football player from getting a concussion if they're going to get a concussion. We're just not there right now in science. I mean, ideally, we can get there someday, but clearly we're not there right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's described as however many mini car accidents that you go through if you're getting these concussions. And not only, you know, the actual concussion that you're diagnosed with, but those hits that you take nonstop, especially, you know, on the line, that they're mini car accidents, every single impact. My brother played in the pros with the Chargers and Cincinnati and Atlanta for a brief spell. And, you know, he was in the league for 6 years, and he was chronically just in pain all the time, not necessarily always with head injuries, but his entire body was in pain all the time. So life for him during camp was take care of pain and try to perform and keep my job. Now it's a little bit different obviously with college, because you're not getting paid. You know, if you sit out, you're not necessarily losing millions of dollars, but in the same context, you're still worried about your health and you're still worried about the longevity of your life in general, you know. And so these things really span all levels of the sport, and like you said, the equipment's gonna have to essentially catch up to some of the violence. And I know that the rule changes and some different things have essentially probably helped for, I don't know the stats, and I'm never going to know the stats, but I'm assuming that the rule changes probably help some of the poor stats that we're running into with concussions and head injuries and all sorts of different things. So moving on, we'll jump into Zach and his injuries.
Let's go.
All right, so talking about a little bit more about concussions.
So in your experience with guys in the NFL coming back a week, 10 days later, what are your thoughts on that then, I guess?
I think it's fucked up, but at the same time, it's like a totally different story, because for me, it's you can come back once you feel ready and you're still going to be playing for a small college, and there's no real end game here. And for these NFL guys, they're seeing, okay, if I sit out, if I still get that game check, if I play.
Right, those game checks are, I mean, depending on your contract, obviously the minimum game check, you're looking at $16,000-$20,000 that week that you don't get if you're sitting out. So I mean that's 1/12 of your yearly paycheck. So I mean, these guys coming back prematurely is pretty much a decision that they make that says I either support myself and, you know, in some cases my family, or, you know, I don't get paid and I sit out. That puts the athlete at a crazy decision to even make. So
quick comment on the technology for stuff. Have you heard of the Vicus football helmet or Vicus? It's the new football helmet.
I think
helmet.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a
car crash technology.
It's like car crash technology, and it like has these little prongs in about 3 inches, and it like collapses as you impact. So it like it collapses as you impact, just like the front of a car accident. But they're running $1,500 a helmet right now. So realistically, that is insane, and nobody can afford that.
You can't buy 100 of those
so
for your team.
We're getting to the technology, but just not practically at all.
Have you seen this helmet?
I have not.
This is a concussion helmet, like for the 49ers, like back in 1995.
That looks like the mushroom.
It's a cutoff
off of
helmet.
Mario.
It's a cutoff helmet put over another helmet.
It can't be real. It can't be.
It is.
It can't make a difference, though. There's no way.
Yeah.
It's going to make it worse.
Difference, no. None whatsoever.
They just figured, let's put more helmets.
Yeah. Two is always better than one.
Oh, my gosh.
They're still getting concussions with one helmet. Let's put another one on there.
Do you double up the concussion?
Yeah.
That's like double wrapping. Wait, what?
Definitely snapshot that. And send it to me, because we're going to put that on the video for sure. So, Zach, moving on from concussions, and I'm sure we'll get back to it, talk about your story and talk about kind of what you've experienced injury-wise. I've been working with Zach since, sophomore year?
Yep,
something
sophomore
like that?
Sophomore year, summer, going into my junior.
Yeah, so what's it been? 5-6 years now? And you know, we've been through a lot. He went through an injury and in high school, and then ultimately in college as well. And you know, so I've been on the sideline with him and seen, you know, what he's gone through. But tell your story a little bit and kind of differentiate between the two injuries and how you felt differently, obviously, in between each one.
So yeah, that quick background, Tyler was actually working at Complete Nutrition at the time, just kind of helping out the owner, just moved into town, was getting ready to open up Crave.
No free ads. What's the owner's name?
Ted. Oh, the owner now?
Yeah,
the owner. Ted now. O'Brien is.
Yeah,
the owner
okay.
Now.
Ted, you owe me money for that ad.
yeah, so Tyler was working, and I went in and talked to another guy in there named Dan about some nutrition stuff, and then I was getting some supplements, and I saw him out in the parking lot when he was leaving, asked him if he did anything on the side to help a little more with like a little specific nutrition, said, go inside, talk to that guy, he knows just about everything. So went inside, talked to Tyler, got his contact information, and started working with him outside of just the store, and then started getting a little more personal and doing personal training sessions, and then started working weekly with nutrition and training out in the field with just a tire and hammer, you know, going at it every other day of the week. And then came my junior year. It was our second game. We were playing Dowling. I played for Valley High School, and it was a huge game. We were actually playing at Drake Stadium. It was packed, and About, I think, 5 minutes in, I was running down the sideline. It was just no contact. My knee came in. I ended up tearing my ACL, MCL, meniscus, and just basically blowing out my whole entire knee. And then after that, Jesus. Sorry. Tyler looks great with his helmet on right now. You guys will see. after that, had to recover from that. Tyler helped me through all the recovery process. And then my next year, my senior year, was great.
This thing
I didn't
is dope,
have,
by the way.
Didn't have
I
any.
Got,
in...
I got a Spartan helmet.
That's actually from a real castle.
From a castle?
That's like a real helmet from a castle over in England. My mom got it for me.
This is yours?
Yes.
I'm stealing this from you at some point.
It's, yeah, it's
in
pretty
my
awesome. It's
that
my
is
future
dope.
Office.
Yeah.
But
that's
yes.
Insane.
So I blew out my knee, and then senior year was all good. Trained with Tyler all through it. Didn't really have too many injuries besides just a little shoulder pain. And then ended up getting a scholarship after my senior year, coming to Grandview. Played a little bit my freshman year, traveled with the team, played special teams, and got in for killing teams. You know, a decent freshman role. And then about game six, someone clipped me from behind, and I ended up tearing my labrum in my shoulder. So that ended my freshman year career, so I had to get surgery from that. Once again, Tyler helped me through all of that surgery. We trained hard, killed it the whole fall, recovering from that, and then killed it in the...
I was going to say, we had about an entire year of training after
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, we had my shoulder. So after that, we had a whole year and then training and then through the whole summer, was killing it. Got ready for my – or sorry, that was my freshman year. And then my sophomore year, I came in my sophomore year just absolutely ready to come back. And
you were like the strongest, fastest that I've ever seen you. And, I mean, you were pushing weight that was
yeah, I hit here's
awesome.
My, here's my little brag. Hit my PR of 600 deadlift. Never ever
get
hit that again because of back injuries.
Humble brags.
Yep.
From got my here. Perspective got as here. An O lineman playing against Downs as a sophomore, he came in and he was ready to tear it up. He was big and he was fast, and there was not a lot of guys on our team that could do anything about it. And like the way that he went out so early in the season truly is a damn shame.
Yeah. So that sucked freshman year, getting that injury. So then, like I said, trained really hard, came back that sophomore year, and then literally in camp, not even season yet, we were in camp about 2 weeks in. My coach had me doing a little too much heavy weight on the front squat. Ended up rupturing two discs in my vertebrae.
I won't give my opinion about this stuff.
Ended up rupturing two discs in my vertebrae and had to get surgery on one of them, and that pretty much... was so bad that I blew out one whole disc that there was almost nothing left. So there was no chance of me really being able to play again.
That was your first surgery.
And that was so that was my first surgery. And then, it was awful. I was every tiny little movement. I was almost crying in the hospital a couple days after surgery, and just every step I took was just pain. And
you're supposed to be in euphoria at that point. They're supposed to be putting so much drugs in you.
Nothing was working. Nothing was working. So recovered from that surgery. That was a really hard situation for me and my family and Tyler, and just overall, you know, working so hard over the past like years and years of training. And it was hard that it was all over and there was literally just nothing about it. So I looked more towards nutrition and getting back into shape and lifting again. And unfortunately, 3 months later, more disc and a fluid came out and my nerve again, sending all that nerve down my leg and making it all numb again. And so they had to go in and do the exact same surgery they did 3 months prior, so I ended up having a microdiscectomy again.
And when you did that, in between those two surgeries, you really didn't push yourself to the point where, causing this to happen again. You know, it was
lightweight.
Yeah.
Just reps, you know, get my muscles conditioned, kind of get my body, you know, moving around, because... You know, the first 2 to 3 weeks after surgery, I mean, you could ask any of these guys sitting in here. There was probably 5 days in a row that I didn't even leave the room. Yeah.
I had to carry Zach's shit everywhere.
Yeah, I laid on the couch for like 5 days.
Help him go to the bathroom.
I didn't even move because it was just so painful. it was a hard experience, but... It was good to have a group of guys to help me through it, and someone like Tyler to help me through it. And now I'm like, 8 months post second surgery and getting stronger. You know, my legs are still pretty small, little noodle legs, but upper body's looking pretty decent. So we got to work on those legs this winter.
Nice.
But yeah,
low impact legs. And just the background, we're over here watching what.
Rocket League.
I can't fucking remember what the hell this is. But this is, I've had a few, and not too many. But we're sitting here watching this fucking video game on live TV, and it's mesmerizing to these guys. They can't get enough of it. Like, we're not even able to concentrate on this podcast because this is on the back.
Right,
but they do have the best names, though. What are some of the names that we have going on?
Delta Doid.
There's Pele. Isn't that a famous soccer guy?
No,
Pele.
It is.
Average baguette. Baguette, is that like an okay Italian bread? He's just an all right average. He's an average
Chick-fil-A. That would be mine.
They might copyright that. And if you're playing on national TV,
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A.
It's Italian.
Yeah.
No free ads.
Right.
Have them pay you to be Chick-fil-A. They can sponsor you on this. And it's cars playing soccer? Is that what it is?
Yep.
What is this world coming to?
You make money doing anything nowadays.
God, just go outside. Play. Play outside. Jeez, guys. Sorry to interrupt, Zach.
I had so there's one more thing about the whole kind of post being a athlete and then getting hurt and not being able to play anymore. It's kind of that, it was interesting. There was that moment of kind of realization where, wow, I'm never going to be able to do this again. And you kind of take a while to figure out kind of who you are again, you know, cause you can't go get that anger out playing football. You don't
have
as much to
do. Well,
and
that's your entire identity up to this point.
That's the thing.
You were a multi-sport athlete. And I'm sure all of us were. We're all from, small town Midwest. So we were all multi-sport athletes. We all got to college. You were too.
No,
I'm from Texas.
Oh. Texas isn't Midwest?
No. Wait, no. Is it? No. What?
No, I would say it's definitely say
south.
It's
no, it's not. It's the south. It is not the Midwest. No, it's the south.
Where does the Midwest turn into the south?
Oklahoma.
Kansas.
Oklahoma.
Basically anywhere but Texas.
Okay.
It's not Texas.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm even down to Cal, Oklahoma.
But El Paso's not a small city. It's bigger than any city in the Midwest except for Chicago, I think.
Yeah, but were you a multi-sport athlete?
Texas is not in our Midwest.
Yeah, so that's...
Texas is not in our Midwest.
Zach just pulled up a map, and the Midwest is definitely the north. It's like all upper Midwest. What are you talking about? That has
Midwest is like Michigan.
Yeah, this is all Midwest.
Okay, so Midwest would include Kansas. Is Kansas on that map?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yep. Kansas.
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Minus the two states we're fucking talking about.
If this is correct, I assume it is.
Anyway, okay.
If you googled it, it's correct.
That is a fact.
Google equals real.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, back to I don't even remember what I was talking about, but back to what I was trying to talk about. So you're a multi athlete, right? So. You play multiple sports. That's your identity. You're an athlete.
I was a student athlete. Yeah. So
student athlete.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying nobody in here is a student. The difference is.
I'm just a student at this point.
Well, not.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's the difference. Was that you're a student athlete, but once this happens, you're not a student athlete anymore. You're just a student. So everything.
Yeah, but
changing.
I don't even think. Like, you've never been just a student. Now you have to, and that's what I was saying is. Your entire identity has been football player. You know, you went through high school. You were the football player. You were on the football team.
Yep.
And most kids, I'm sure now, are so specialized in their sport that you're a rocket ball player.
Rocket League player. Rocket League.
Hey, Grand Valley.
No, Grand View.
Close. I thought
close.
The same.
I was like that. Yeah. Grand Valley is playing right now. I was thinking Grand View. I was like, Okay. So you know, you're a specialized athlete. You're a football player. You're a baseball player. Whatever the case may be, that's who you are. And so the injury takes you away from your entire identity. And so, like Zach was pointing out, you have to basically figure out who the hell you are outside of your sport because that's who you've been the majority of your life. And I can speak to that. I played football from second grade to I was, you know, I was done after my senior year in college. And so, like, that is, at that point, that's 80% of your life that you're identifying as this person. And it totally gets flipped, turned upside down.
Right?
See right there.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah, we didn't hear any of that.
He's
because
talking into his beer.
Yeah, we didn't hear any of that. He just
forgot I was even holding it.
Nobody heard any. We're all just laughing randomly because he's saying shit not in the mic.
Concussions, man.
That one was.
I love it.
Okay. Yeah, so that was one of the things that was really, really interesting for me to figure out. You know, I started kind of learning about meditation, mindfulness, kind of just relaxing, you know, living life and just enjoying it and not having to, like, focus on such a strong thing like that. And so through my perspective, that's something that I went through. Now, probably moving on here next to Mason, that's something that he's going through in the moment. So his thoughts are a lot different than mine, and it's a different viewpoint, you know. So
actually,
I just wanted to bring that up.
We'll speak to both of those. Dealing with what you've dealt with and kind of making that identity shift, and then, you know, Mason having to go through that right now. How has, first question, how has, like, having roommates that have been through that shit really helped as well? Because, you know, all of you guys have all been at different stages at different times, and so having roommates that have, how do you guys help each other, how do you do all of that, you know, and how much of a benefit is it to hang around with the guys that have really been there and not necessarily, you know, a lot of being injured is super lonely too. So, you know, you get injured and you're the one guy on the team that's not going to practice, not going to these different things.
Absolutely.
And now you're in this zone where you almost get forgotten about, and, you know, you're in the training room and you try to be around the guys as much as possible, but it's not the same when you're injured, and it's not the camaraderie is almost gone. You're not going through the same things as guys. You know, when they're done with practice and they're struggling and, you know, tired and all this kind of stuff, you don't have the things in common. And not only that, but a lot of times as a team, the coach, the school, whatever the case may be, if they don't have a program that's getting you back, you know, where you need to be, or if you're not like a one percenter, that you're just the stud of the team, you could get, you know, left behind and really, you know, it's football in any sport is really, you know, what's the saying, what have you done for me lately or whatever. It's really a what have you done for me lately type of scenario.
Yeah.
So if you've been sitting on the bench injured, you haven't done shit for me lately, so you're kind of thrown to the wayside. So speak a little bit about that. Mason, go ahead and tell your story and what you're going through right now, and then pass that mic back and forth. We only have four mics, again, for like 17 people. So so Mason will tell his story, and then they'll pass their mic back and forth and talk about how they kind of help each other get through some of this stuff as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I think my injury is probably pretty similar to Zach's as well. Earlier this football season, I think about week 4 or 5, somewhere in there. And it really sucked because I was kind of on my way up to, you know, I was kind of working my way into the playing rotation a little bit, stuff like that. And then one game, just I kind of felt some stiffness in the back of my neck. And then from there, you know, as the game kind of went on, I kept hitting people, stuff like that. My shoulder just started burning like it was on fire. Then I lost some feeling in my fingers, stuff like that. And so I just kept fighting through the rest of the game, you know, trying to play my hardest because I'm kind of like what you talked about. You know, it's kind of a what have you done for me lately? And I'm not going to sit on the sidelines, you know, and not have that chance to play and stuff like that as well. But then after that game, you know, I kind of went and talked to the trainers and evaluated that situation a little more. And they're like, definitely, since, you know, you don't have feeling in some of your fingers, you probably sit out for a while. So eventually down the road, you know, I went and got a couple of MRIs, some x-rays, stuff like that. Had some evaluations with a couple of different doctors, and they kind of, you know, all confirmed the same thing. That C4, C5 vertebrae in my neck there was pretty bulged. And then they definitely said, you know, I was pinching those nerves down into my left arm as well, which was definitely giving those that, you know, kind of tingling in your feelings, in your fingers, stuff like that as well. And then they recommended that, yeah, I definitely should call it a career for football.
Sure. So was that the same Peyton Manning deal?
Is that I don't similar? Know specifically what Peyton Manning's was, but I think it probably
I was going to say it sounds similar because he had a neck fusion, right?
Definitely you mentioned, you know, just kind of how, you know, like you said, I thought the coaches, you know, you got to do something for them and how you're not really, you know, doing the same things as the guys around you. It's really kind of a hard thing to grasp, especially when, you know, you're so used to being involved every single day, you know, and just putting on every day for your boys and stuff and just not being able to do that anymore. It's really, it's kind of a kick in the nuts. It really does suck. And it's definitely kind of a hard thing to deal with, especially in, you know, such a confusing time in your life, like college and stuff like that as well.
Swift kick in the dick.
A hard swift kick in the
dick. It is. It is. And I think, you know, and yeah, because even in college, you know, football is a business and it's tough, you know, because it's what you used to and the coaches, everything. And you may have, you know, you may have your scholarship and you may have different things for the rest of the thing, but it's not the same when you're essentially not on the team anymore. And going through the paces of kind of what Zach said, a normal student, you know, and we never thought about yourself as, you know, that normal type of academic student, just go to school. I'm shit. And just the amount of time we got in your hands, if you're not practicing is amazing.
My grades, you know, have gone up like crazy. You think I'm joking, but
like
I'm
learning shit now. Like it's insane.
Even in the four weeks I haven't played.
Yeah, like I do all my homework and it's awesome.
Shit gets done.
That is one of the hard parts though, I think, is, you know, kind of trying to find that new identity too, especially once you don't have that anymore. Because when I came to Grandview, that's what I was. I was a football player. That's why I'm here, you know, and now,
right,
you know, I don't have that title to my name anymore. And I think that's definitely one of the hardest parts too, is just, you know, what am I to people at this point in my life too.
Right. And it's funny because being where I am, and this is going to date me a little bit, but, you know, being a lot older than these guys, I went through that and then you kind of find your career and what you're going to be in. And that kind of takes over that identity. But even that, you know, my biggest thing is you have to go beyond that and have an identity that's not just your career. Like, it's interesting to me. A lot of people will ask, you know, what is it that you do? That's the first question somebody asks when they meet you, right? So that's your identity or whatever the case may be. And it's interesting just, we're going to get deep here, but it's interesting to just talk to people and get that certain mindset of, you know, you have to, and it doesn't switch, you know, when you're an adult, you do. Whenever you change positions or you change a job or whatever the case may be, you have that identity shift and knowing yourself as a person, as a human being, versus having a label of what you do or, you know, what your hobby is or whatever the case may be, you know, knowing who you are and really having that company with your boys, with your family, whatever the case may be, that's going to be the thing that defines you versus, you know, what you're doing at the moment. So we'll move over to Grant here, who, fuck, it's 10 o'clock. Are you going to get in trouble with your parents here or what? Damn. I forget that like, that he's a kid. He might have time.
Oh yeah.
He has homework due tomorrow.
Yeah. He's got to sign his scholarship tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I do. Yep.
Ooh, nice. Okay, so real quick, we'll talk about kind of what you've just gone through. We've been working together for several years now, probably three years now.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And so big highlights, obviously, in his career. Sophomore year, won state. Junior year, got second in
Valley
state.
High right? School.
Yeah.
In Valley High School.
Valley High School.
Yeah, Valley High School. State winner. What weight were you?
Which year?
Either, yeah.
My freshman year, I was 120, and then my sophomore year, I was 132. Then
huge dude over here.
Yeah.
Just monster.
Could pin us all, though.
Oh, easily. Easily. No doubt. Well, we're all over here talking about injuries, and we would all be fucked if we ever had to wrestle him anyway. But yeah, so we've been training together. Was this your first injury?
This is actually my first, like, major injury, so I didn't really know how to take it, really.
Sure. And so tell us a little bit about the injury. It was prior to football season, right?
Yeah, it actually happened
It started in like June. Had a couple MRIs. Got a cortisone shot because I was going to a Nebraska
in
prospect
knee.
Camp. Yeah, in my yeah. knee. But MRIs didn't show anything, so we just kept it off. And then eventually it was at football practice and...
That was a fucking crazy shot.
What is this called again?
That was
Rocket League.
That was a crazy
Rocket
shot.
League. Oh, Rocket League is so distracting crazy. That we cannot even, we can't focus on this shit. Somebody just scored a goal.
Deltatoid.
Was it? Oh, yeah, it shit. Okay. Sorry to interrupt, but Deltatoid is just fucking up our entire podcast
here. Nebraska with a cortisone shot.
Yes, okay, so. Back to your story, Grant. Went to Nebraska with a cortisone shot, and
yeah, then I came back. I mean, I'm still hurting. Took another MRI, didn't show anything. Then finally, I was like, obviously something's wrong. So, well, then I just decided to start playing football on it, and one practice
and
decided.
And for the record, this was against my recommendations, if I remember correctly. I said, sit the fuck out of 7-on-7s because there's no fucking need to practice.
No, this was actual practice.
What did I say? I said, until you get the result back that says your knee's not fucking torn up, don't fucking practice.
No.
Don't do anything.
All my MRIs were cleared.
Fucking practice.
All of them were cleared. They were all clear.
Okay.
So right. I started practice, and then it locked up on me, and usually it's been doing that off and on, and I've been able to lock it back in, but then
just
during practice,
out.
It just stayed out once, and I was like, oh, shit, like, can't move. So I got up, and I was limping off, and I was like, well, there's actually something wrong this time. So they decided to do a scope this time. So I was going in not knowing what it is, ACL, MCL, meniscus, or hopefully I just thought it was just going to be a scope, be out for a week, be back, but... So I went under, woke up, told me it was a meniscus tear.
It's going under. And I'll actually ask everybody, because I'm sure everybody has gone under.
Oh, I actually, getting my IV and stuff, I threw up and I passed out and then woke up and started throwing up all over. So
getting your IV?
What?
Getting your IV?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't like that stuff.
I love it.
That was my first time.
Oh, I love that
I didn't
shit.
Know.
Right when they put the
I say,
electrolytes
put it,
in.
Let's do it. Let's roll.
I just started getting dizzy.
No, I said, put me under. I've been under 4 or 5 times now, and every single time I'm like, hell yes.
It's the best.
It's the best.
I started getting dizzy and just passed out.
Really? So I went down, and I can't remember. I was dating my wife, and obviously before we were married, I think it was my shoulder surgery. So I go in and they're giving me a shot that in my neck that supposedly numbs more like completely dysfunctions half of your body, and then they were going to put me under. So they were giving me this thing and they were like, "Well, I have to tell you this. It's the needle's 6 inches long."
Oh yeah.
And Amber's over there like, "Fuck this." And then they're like, "Okay, so if I go a little bit to the left, I'm going to hit a nerve and you may be paralyzed for the rest of your life. If I go too far to the right, I'm going to hit a blood vessel and this stuff will get in your blood and you're going to die." And they're like, I have to tell you that legally. But the percentage is pretty low." And so at that point I'm like, "Are you shitting me? Like, that stuff I don't want to know." And I don't know about your guys' experience. But that was like the only scary shit that I went through. Every other thing, I love going under. Did they give you ice cubes and shit?
Yep. Ice chips.
Ice chips when you wake up?
No.
Oh, fuck.
I have a couple of good experiences.
They give me – so this chick is – my future wife is sitting next to me. And this nurse is giving me ice chips. And I am hitting on her something fierce. And yeah, baby, give me more ice chips. Keep them coming, sweetie. And my girlfriend at the time, wife now, is sitting next to me, and I can't imagine what she's thinking. But I'm just hitting on this nurse, and it was that's really the only thing I remember. But going down is, oh, it's wonderful. It's the best nap ever.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Going down, so my first, like, two surgeries, they were normal. I went down, and then my third or fourth surgery, the doctor was counting down. He's like, "All right, I'm going to count down from 10. You're going to be asleep before then." He starts counting down, and I was like, "Okay." And he's like, 3, 2, one, and I'm like, still looking at it.
Fucker,
like,
I'm still up.
I was like, I've had a couple surgeries. And he's like, you're a big boy. Turns up the knob, and then about in 2 seconds, I was out.
Gone.
So that one, and then woke up from that surgery. I actually started freaking out, swinging my arms around, and because I had no clue where I was at.
That sounds then, exactly like you.
The though. Nurses, yeah. So like the nurses actually had to strap my arms like to the side of the.
I would have, fully.
And I went back to
fully
bed.
Expected that.
No, yeah.
No matter what.
I was freaking out, and then I think they like put me back to sleep or just call something because I fell back asleep and they strapped me.
They got the tranquilizer out for him.
So we're gonna need the rhino tranq.
That was was fun. And then my most recent, I guess, kind of surgery, I got my wisdom teeth out, and I actually woke up in the middle of it, wide awake.
That might be my worst.
I was looking around. Looking around, and I was like, huh? And they're like, oh, just sit still, and then. Ripped a tooth out and literally felt it from like my chin into like my stomach. Like the nerve just went through my whole body. And then I was like, I just screamed.
That's terrible.
And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what is going on? They're like, just relax. And there's like, we got one more. And I was like, what? And then
just relax. We're gonna do it again.
Yeah. So then ripped another one out. And I was, and then must have put me right back to sleep because then I was out after that. About 15 minutes later, it's a pretty short surgery, so 15 minutes later, I kind of waking up again from it. So they must not use much anesthesia, but waking up from it, I walk outside, I know everything that happened. I look at my dad, and I'm like, I'm fucking pissed.
This is the worst experience I've ever had in my life.
I literally said, I felt everything. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, I felt it all. Let's go.
When I was in high school, I broke my forearm, and I got like two plates and 12 screws in there playing football. So they strap my hand into like a Chinese finger trap type of thing, and they give me this medicine. They're like, oh, this like makes you forget your short-term memory or something. I'm like, oh, fucking great. You know, no big deal. So then they put my hand up in this thing, and then he started talking to me. He's like, you know, what NFL team do you like? Come on. I'm like, oh, I'm a Niners fan. He's like, well, why do all the Niner quarterbacks go to the Chiefs? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, Joe Montana, Elvis Gerbach, blah, blah, blah. So then all of a sudden he takes my arm. And he like re-breaks it to put it back into place. And then, oh my God, worst pain of my life. So then he goes out of the room and he comes back like 10, 15 minutes later. And he's like, do you remember what we were talking about? I'm like, yeah, we were talking about the quarterbacks for the Niners that went to the Chiefs. He's like,
and then you broke my fucking arm.
And then you broke my fucking arm. He's like, yeah, you weren't supposed to remember that. And I'm like, oh. So then it happened to where I got drove home that night. And don't remember any of the car ride. It just apparently set in like 15, 30 minutes later. Unbeknownst to me, I was just talking about like my sexual relations to my mom the entire drive home for 2 hours. And I'm like, oh, God.
I remember after one of my surgeries, I was like just craving Velveeta shells mac and cheese. And I told my mom.
Is that not a great craving?
Yeah, I was like, Mom, I have to get this right now. And, like, obviously I was on, like, a lot of pain meds. But, I mean, I was like, I wanted this mac and cheese. And she felt bad for me. And it was my shoulder, so, I mean, she was, like, all right with it. So I ended up walking through Hy-Vee. I mean, leaving surgery. We went straight to Hy-Vee. And, like, I was walking through the aisle. Just like, hey, guys. And I was like, I'll get some mac and cheese.
I wish I could have seen you at that.
And it was, yeah. That would I ended up awesome. Getting my mac and cheese, but that was fun, too. All
right, sorry. That was a long interlude to interrupt, Grant. But yeah, so continue where you were, if you can remember.
You guys all got put out during wisdom teeth? I didn't.
You didn't even get put out?
They gave me the option, and I said,
what a
put me
fucking
in
boss.
I was sitting there, this dude's cracking my tooth open. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, they said you can use so laughing
bad.
Gas.
Oh my
shit,
God. Hurt
they
so
said
bad.
Laughing gas, or they can put you under. And I was like, I want laughing gas and put me under. I want both of them.
Yeah, I was listening.
Yeah, I was awake during that. I wanted the laughing gas. They were like, yeah, you can listen to music. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I'm going to trip balls while these guys are ripping my teeth out. It was a blast, dude. It was amazing.
That sounds fucking terrible.
So waking up like Zach.
I was terrible.
Just like, they were just cranking on that
shit.
Yeah,
cranking. Like, ripped it out of my mouth.
I had a blast. I didn't later. Hey, so my dad, when I got
you
him out.
You fucking wrestlers are weird as fuck.
My dad's like, hey. You get, you like, it's okay if you spit out, like, out of your Like, you know, they tell you not to spit. My dad was like, no, 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 just like don't hawk. Like, you can spit. Wrong. That is not the truth. So I've never been like all these guys have had some pretty serious injuries. But let me tell you about dry socket for 1 second. I thought I was
going to
fucking die. Mm-hmm. That was the most painful thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I had to put tea bags, wet tea bags, on the back of my gums.
I got tea bagged.
You got tea bagged in your mouth.
That was the only way to fix it. I took so many hydrocodones to try to make the pain stop that I ended up barfing that night, which made it hurt worse. I threw up all the hydrocodones.
So I got my when I had like four or five of them.
Yeah, that's what made me. No, yeah, that's what made me not remember a month of my life is hydro and alcohol.
Did you get the
life? So yeah,
I just got numb.
When I got my tonsils out, I actually had something similar to that. And so they say 1% gets them back open and they bleed really bad. So, and of course, you know, with my surgeries, I was that.
I remember that.
I was that 1% that was lucky enough to get all the bleeding and just pouring out of my mouth. So I was sleeping one morning and I just wake up and my mouth would just start filling up with blood just from sleeping. And so the way they fixed it is I went in, they heated up a rod and stuck it in the back of my throat and cauterized it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can relate. It's not fun.
Coolest surgery I've ever been a part of, actually, personally, is I had an ingrown toenail that was a part of turf toe that wasn't even related to my football injuries. So to do surgery on that, they just like locally anesthesia, and so they numb up the entire foot, and I sit and watch them. Yeah, so I sit and watch them, and they cut down the middle of my big toenail and just fucking rip that shit out, and so it starts bleeding and shit, and then they cauterize it, right? Like, and I'm looking at this. No, before they cauterize it, they have this tool that looks like what is it? Almost like a tiny little mini metal lacrosse stick, and they scoop out just like they just I mean they just cut out like the entire toe, and I'm watching all this and like I can't feel a damn thing, so I'm like, that's my fucking foot. That is the coolest thing ever. And then they cauterize it, and the only thing I remember, like the only bad part about it was smelling that burnt. Like, did you smell that when they cauterized that? Yeah. Like you could, burnt skin.
I was like eating it. I was like eating Bigfoot's it and tasting
dick.
Wait, you tasted dick?
I said it smells like Bigfoot's dick.
Burnt Indian hair. Diapers.
All right, so back to your story, Grant. So you have your surgery, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back to your story. Okay.
So then I wake up not knowing what happened, and then sitting in the chair and obviously, the nurse doesn't tell me, so I have to wait for the doctor. I'm just sitting there. Then she, like, takes the blanket off my leg, and I'm all wrapped up. And I'm like, what happened? She's like, I don't know. And I was like, what do you mean you don't know? So
your
then
job,
lady. So then
that is to know.
Respect to nurses. No disrespect to the nurses. I mean, you guys are awesome. But it's your job to know.
So then the doctor comes over, and then so I'm like, what happens? And he's like, well, you tore your meniscus. So I was like, so I'm out for like a week, right? And he's like, no, you're out for like 3 months. And I'm like, oh, shit. And then like, obviously it took a little bit to sink in, because right then and there I was like, you know, it's whatever. I'll just miss football, come back for wrestling. But I mean, even though wrestling was my main sport, I love to play football. I mean, it's my senior year.
Right. So, I mean, and essentially you knew that you were going to go to college for wrestling. So this is, you know, that's your last year of playing football. So, you know, or competitively at least. So when you get older, you can play flag football, but don't do it like I did, because that's when I tore my patellar tendon and had to have another surgery. But that's besides the point.
So you just went
through rehab, Grant, and did all of your injury stuff. Tell us a little bit about the rehab process, and you just got cleared to do some running drills and stuff. So now you get to come and get tortured by me and do some, get you back into shape before wrestling starts. But tell us a little bit about the process of, you know, getting back active and doing your whole thing.
Yeah, so I had my surgery was on like a Sunday night, and then the doctor asked when I wanted to set up like physical therapy. And of course, knowing my dad, he's set it up the next morning. So I went to physical therapy next morning on my crutches.
Classic.
I went in there, they just started rubbing my knee. I was like, this kind of hurts.
Can we get it set up for tonight, please? As soon as possible.
What are you doing now?
Yeah. What do you got going on?
So I went in there. They're like, when was your surgery? I was like, last night. So they're like, oh, so.
7 hours ago.
Yeah. So they're like, yeah, we're not going to do much today. So I just laid on the table. They're like, how far can you bend it? I was like, yeah, I don't know. I haven't taken off anything yet.
You just got surgery yesterday. Yeah.
So you still had your, like, all the bandages on.
Oh, I had everything on, even, like. And this is like, it was pretty cool. They had this like ice pack machine thing on me, so you just hook it up to it.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Readies. Almost like game days or game ready. Yeah, those game ready. I stole yours for when I had my knee injury. Yeah,
yeah. So then I went through that for until I guess my last one was supposed to be today, but I missed it. So tomorrow, and then
slacking. Why'd you miss it?
I was at the volleyball game today.
Wasn't as priority.
Worth it. It was worth it.
Worth it. How'd they do in volleyball, by the way?
Nah, they beat Dowling, actually, today.
Hey, so shout out.
Were you there?
I was there, yeah.
Me and Mason were there. We were watching my sister play just on the other court. Urbandale and Cedar Falls were playing.
Yeah, yep.
And then Dowling and Valley were playing. So.
Which one does your...
My sister plays for Urbandale.
Oh, you guys did. Screamed.
Oh, smacked.
Hey, that was a quick game over there.
Hey, man, those Cedar Falls, they got like 7 girls going D1.
Yeah, they're ranked number one, really? Aren't they?
A bunch of 6-footers. Hey, some bullshit.
Hey, they also got to go to the Packers game last night.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, that was sweet.
We were at the Packers Packers-Lions game. It was a hell of a time. Packers got smacked around a little bit, but it's all right.
What can you do when your leader goes down with an injury like that, you know?
There it is.
That's insane. I bet he's getting plenty of attention though. when you get an all star that goes down, he's probably getting more attention right now than he ever did trying to get him back. But anything else to add? We're at about an hour. So that's about usually what we cap it off at. Any food for thoughts? There we go.
Yeah, just as somebody that hasn't really been injured nearly as much as any of these guys, did you ever try not getting hurt?
Yeah,
like taking better care of yourself.
That would be number one, guys.
I would say no. Yeah. When I played football, I had nothing to stop me. I just ran and threw my entire body into someone.
That's how Zach played. Yeah. Zach played.
Didn't take any precautions.
That's how Zach lives in general.
His body was a weapon.
But that
right? Yes,
that's something that really changed because. Like when you have the injury and then you go back, that's when you try to not get injured, and that's when you're actually at a higher likelihood of being injured. Because I know,
once I had
my first real bad concussion and I went back and tried to run the football, it was never the same. Because every single time I've been thinking about trying to protect my head, thinking about trying to like brace for impact. Like before, you know, I'm just throwing my body into people because there's none of that inhibition. But once you suffer an injury, that's when you can almost never play the same again. Unless, you know, obviously I'm sure some of the stars do.
Unless you're just crazy.
Unless you're insane, there's a lot of people that don't care.
But that's completely true because football is a type of sport that, you know, if you go 50%, you're going to get injured because everyone else is going 100%. So if you have had the injury and you're now going 50% during even practice or the game, you're fucked, period. You know, and so the injuries force you to go 50% and then you get injured again. You get into
at the college level and up and, you know, at D1 and even the NFL, you make a slight hesitation and at that speed of play, and you can be
You're screwed.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not even like 50%. It's like you even like, oh shit, I'm about to get hit. Like just that slight bit of hesitation, and then boom, you get freaking hammered.
So tell me a little bit more, and we'll kind of go from to everybody. Tell me a little bit more about how the administration kind of handled it, and I guess not the administration, but what was your experience in the training room? What was your experience with the coaches? And I know we've talked a little bit about like you get. You know, kind of on a deserted island, but what, both in high school and in college, you know, what was your experience with how they handled an injury and what did you become to the team? And I know we touched on it a little bit, but it's specifically, you know, what did the training room look like for you guys? What did you know, what did the coaches, have you even talked to the coaches after? I mean, because I know when I went through my injuries, like I talked to the, there was one where when I broke or when I had surgery on my shoulder, I walked into the head coach and I was just bullshitting with him and he didn't even know I fucked up my shoulder. He's like, you're in a shoulder brace and you're a quarterback for us. What the fuck happened? And he didn't even know that I had gone through that. Obviously, I did everything through the training room and all that kind of stuff. And it was something that, you know, was affecting my play. And that was an off-season injury, so it didn't affect me too much. You know, but I went into his office on the off-season to talk to him or dick around or something. And he was like, well, you're injured. I was like, yeah, you didn't know about it? You know, so tell me a little bit about the communication back and forth from the coaches and then the communication with the training room and what did that whole scenario kind of look like for you guys?
For me, it was Zach. It was an interesting experience. The trainer was great about it. If you have obviously a serious injury and not some little boo-boo, he's going to actually take care and really text you and make sure you're okay.
What was
and
that last one? A little what?
Boo-boo. A little boo-boo. Boo-boo.
A little boo-boo?
But so
does Aaron take care of your little boo-boos?
What'd you say?
Aaron takes care of your little boo-boo if you have a little...
Sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
Depends how bad Aaron's the boo-boo is.
She comes to the gym, too. And she's probably listening to this.
So, yeah, it was... the trainer was great about it. Really helped me through everything. Talked to my parents. He was a really, really big help. The thing that kind of threw me off a little differently, I'm not going to say anything specific, but one of our coaches was completely understanding and, like, was like, honestly advised me to stop playing football because he had a wife that had gone through... surgeries and stuff, but there were other specific coaches that after I told them I was hurt literally didn't from him one time. And as a student, like you said, identifying yourself as a football player, you start walking around and then you're just turning invisible to everyone. It's kind of weird and it throws you off in a different way, so that was hard for me. But coming back this year doing a work study, I've kind of entered into the team again and started talking to those coaches and building those relationships.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about that. So you're doing a work study that basically working with the training
staff, basically an assistant for our trainer. So game days, help him fill up waters, tape if he needs help with that, set up the sideline, doing all that good stuff. So that's something that my roommates being football players was something I could still go and do and be a part of the team. And actually on a plus side, get paid for it. So that was a good place for me to fit in the current time being. So,
right. And that's huge.
Following that kind of uncomfortable situation with the coaches, it's feels good to be in a better place again, you know, back with the team and working and doing my part and helping as much as I can.
Definitely.
Yeah, I can talk on that topic a little bit. After my first concussion here at Grandview, the coaches were great about it and the training staff, and they're really, really particular about the protocol and getting back with making sure we're taking the right precautions. And as a captain this year, I've kind of been able to keep myself involved while being injured.
Sure.
I still get to travel and I still try to put myself in every leadership situation that I can, but it's just hard because you're used to being out there and going up and down the field and going through the struggle with your teammates. But it's a lot different when you're watching them go through the struggle and you're just kind of there on the sideline to be there for support. But when it comes to the coaches, they've been great for the most part. There are some coaches that it seems like they don't want to know, or they try not to know very much, and they just kind of go on with their lives because I understand that it's their job to make sure the football team is successful. And when there's one wrench in the gears, they're not gonna be able to just completely stop and put all their focus on something like that. They gotta still keep what's going and understand that, but. It does suck when you're used to talking to people every day and you're used to kind of consoling with them on a player-coach basis and share your ideas, but then you get injured and then the next thing you know, you don't talk to them for weeks. It's definitely different.
Right, and the communication is a big thing that you miss out on, and that's something you're used to, and that's, you know, somebody that you – all of your coaches you look at, you know, in a certain way with a certain amount of respect, and then it's tough to say, you know, okay, so now – I don't have that relationship with you anymore. So it's like somebody that's been a big part of your life just kind of steps out because of an injury. And so that's another type of identity type of, you know, crisis that you're going through. Well, you know, these are people that I talk to every day for however many years, and now now I don't have that in my life anymore. So, you know, that's tough as a student athlete as well.
Yeah, it kind of relates, like you said, it's the what have you done for me lately. You know, once right. you get hurt, they're looking at you like, he's hurt, he can't play anymore. We just have to pay him for a scholarship. And, you know, not all coaches look at it. Coaches are good about it, but, you know, you do have those coaches that are like, he's not contributing, I got to focus on what I'm doing, and you just kind of become invisible, which is a really hard thing to go through.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. See, I wish I would have handled it differently now, looking back on it. But yeah, my concussions got so bad to the point where, like, it was just like, I wasn't telling anybody about it. And it was kind of a rolling situation where I was finding myself like in class. And then like, I'd just like wake up all of a sudden, like not know how I got there, like going through like mood swings and like, with like 1 second, I'm the happiest person in the world. Next second, I'm like in this like deepest, darkest hole. And I don't know how I got there. And, so I literally got at one point, it just, I almost like just like broke basically. I was like, I literally can't do this anymore. I had all these people that were expecting me to play, expecting me to keep playing football,
right,
and going through what I'm going through. I literally just walked into my offensive coordinator, Coach Flynn. They all know him. I walked into his office and I'm like, I straight broke down. And I was like, Coach, I can't do this anymore. I'm in a position where like I'm experiencing all these symptoms and like I'm gonna check out of school this spring. And so I straight took an entire year off of school, just worked and lifted, basically just got my head on straight, lived at home, and then now came back this past last fall. So about a year ago now, a little over a year ago now that I came back and am finishing my degree. So yeah, that was tough. But for me, it was no communication at all with the coaches after that. Like I haven't ran into them, nothing. I'm sure if I ran into one of them, I would have a conversation with them. But like I haven't said one word to any of them since all that went down.
Sure. And how many years ago was that now?
That was, I came here in 2013 as a freshman.
Okay.
Played 13, 14, and then 15, and then quit that, like it was like spring of 16.
Okay.
So sure. I wasn't playing at that point technically, but yeah.
Right.
So yeah, I played for 2 years. I didn't play spring ball of that sophomore year, obviously, but yeah, so yeah, that was a while ago now, but yeah, I haven't ran into any of them. No communication whatsoever. Haven't said anything to them. I mean, I'm sure I would talk to him. I would be down to, but
right.
I'm sure if I ran into Flynn, he would definitely be like, yo, what's up, Dan? I haven't seen you in forever. You know, last time I talked to him was in the office.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, it's crazy, you know, that those type of relationships that you're used to can just, you know, shut off like that as soon as you get injured, you know, which is unfortunate, but it's definitely something that goes a lot of times unspoken. And that's why we wanted to have this podcast. We wanted to have this interview, and I know it went a little bit longer than what we normally do, but you know, this is something that doesn't get injured, you know, doesn't get talked about a lot of times. And, you know, it really has to do with anything that you're used to, right? So if you're an athlete at Crave and you get injured, or you're a bodybuilder and you get injured, or you're an athlete and you get injured, you know, it's basically taking something that you're used to and taking it away from you, and you're not able to do it anymore, and it fucks with your identity, and it messes with you know, who you are and how you spend your time and who you communicate with. And so it changes everything. And so hopefully talking to some of these guys, you know, may have helped somebody, you know, and somebody that's been in any of our shoes. And you know, we're looking at 17 guys here. I'm on that number. 17 is the number tonight. But we're on, you know, and all of us have been through some sort of injury, and something that we've, you know, that we've gone over and has changed us in a way to, and I know that, you know, we're in a room and all of us just kind of, these guys are all roommates, and we just brought the podcast to their living room. And so really it happens to a lot of different people, and not only athletes, but you know, people that are training and doing different things. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we get this message out. And the biggest thing, you know, is there's a lot of disconnect when we get to a point of injury with an athlete, especially in the collegiate and high school type of athletics, that now we get into, you know, a big disconnect from the team and that kind of thing. And so hopefully we can we can do something to address some of those different things. And hearing some of these guys and hearing some of these stories can help somebody out there. Really, the biggest thing is you're not alone in what the injury and you know how you can react to the injury and the emotions behind the injury and the psychological impact that it has on everybody. It's a big deal, and it really doesn't get talked about too much. You know, I'm sure you guys living in a house with five guys and five injuries, that could be a topic of conversation for you guys, but it really doesn't get talked about that much. So we wanted to kind of bring to light some of the processes and some of the stages that everybody went through as they go through this. So thank you for tuning in to the Gym Closet. We are reporting from a dorm at Grandview, which is kind of awesome. So we're on location this week. Go ahead and like, subscribe, and review. Go ahead and give us a 5-star if you liked this conversation today. If not, comment why. And you're probably a jerk if you don't like this conversation. Right?
definitely not cool.
Yeah, just shit on people while they're down.
I mean, who doesn't like Rocket League? Who doesn't like Rocket League?
Yeah, and you got Rocket League playing in the background still, but it's frozen. So.
It's been frozen for a bit. I think that helped
our podcast.
Helped calm it down. Come to a closing.
Yeah, we had a very good conversation once the Rocket League.
Yes.
Hell yeah. End Rocket of the podcast. Once Rocket League got frozen, we had a great conversation with everybody. And thank you guys for opening up your home.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
For this podcast, and thank you for sharing your stories and getting a little bit into the injuries that all of us have suffered from. And if you are injured currently, or if you go through an injury, you know, you're not alone. There's a lot of people that have gone through it. We're with 17 guys that have all gone through it right now. and so, you know, take these steps that we've kind of talked about, and know that you're not alone in the emotions that you're feeling and what you're going through. And, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we have everybody at different stages of those injuries. And so I hope we got some good reporting on kind of the different stages that you'll go through and what will help to overcome that and ultimately become a better person for it. So anything else before we close out, guys?
I just want to say thank you, though, for real. This is a subject that does need to have a little bit of light shined on it. And I think all of us at one point have felt hopeless from an injury, or we felt
completely,
depressed, anxious, stressed out about it. And
sure,
there are problems with injuries, but I mean, this is also a great testimony to the fact that it's not life. Your life isn't that injury. Your life is much bigger than just one moment, that injury.
Definitely. Definitely.
I actually talked about this in an exercise phys class. We severely underestimate our ability to adapt as human beings. When things happen to us, they hit us really hard, and we think the world is going to come crashing down. But literally, it doesn't matter what it is. You give it 3 weeks, you've adapted to that situation, and you're back at your baseline anyway.
Almost forgot about it.
Exactly. So
it's situation.
We always tend to overestimate the severity of things when they're happening, and then once we've had time to go back and reflect on it and think about it and see it for what it was at the time and examine everything, that's when we can realize you know it really wasn't that bad, and I actually learned a few things along the way, and
definitely,
and especially when it relates to injuries,
right? And it's awesome that you guys are getting to know that right now, you know, as 20-year-olds, you know, however your age you are. So
injuries will mature somebody,
right?
Quickly.
And that's the thing is, you know, you learn those things as you get older, and you realize that doesn't define you, and you get over things relatively more quickly because you've been through a little bit more of the life experiences. But you know, as someone that's 18, 17 years old, you know, those things are, whether it's huge, an injury, a breakup, whatever the case may be, you know,
anything,
you know, anything. Kids being bullied and that kind of stuff, you know, that it's not the end all be all. There's a lot more to life than all of this happened. So it's a good topic that really transverses. What's the word I'm looking for?
Not that one.
Not that one. that it really...
Transfers? What? I wasn't listening.
No, like bridges. Bridges, the gap between...
Connects?
Yeah. I don't know. You're my English dictionary over there.
It seems like you had all of those, though.
Contrastable?
There we go.
Yes.
That's the one.
It's very, very contrastable. So, thanks again for listening. Like, subscribe, review. Send us some comments on our... on our social media. Again, I'm with at Shane Sagabarth, at Jordan.Hildreth, and I am at TR Crave Strong. Go ahead and visit Crave Gym, West Des Moines on Facebook, and at Crave Gym on
Instagram
and Twitter. Crave Gym with a K. We are out.